Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So we're talking about Tino's background as an experiencer, having followed the UFO phenomenon. Can you tell us more?
Then I said, I was talking about my paranormal experiences that sort of gave me an open mind as a young child, having these ghostly experiences in my house. It forced me to, when I understood, not at the time, but later as a teenager, young teenager, naturally curious about the world and everything, where other people would just be thinking about sport, fast cars, girls, etc. But I also thought about those things, don't get me wrong. But also I had room in there for unusual happenings in a household, which most young kids did not. At 17, 18, I joined a group of UFO researchers that met in a particular place every month talking about UFOs. And I thought, oh, I've got to go to this meeting. And I did. And I was half expecting people to show up with little propellers on their heads and dressed in green, the sort of thing you expect. But it wasn't like that at all. It was a bunch of people that seemed quite normal to me, talking about this wonderful subject, and I was in awe of it. And I thought, wow, I never knew anything like this existed. I became a member, because they were all volunteers in this line of work here. The organization is run democratically, where there's a general meeting every year, and members can vote in or out any committee member. You know, we reapply for positions, etc. And so I applied for a position and just to set up the room, just to be part of it. I was thrilled to be part of it. And it was unusual for someone my age to do so. But there I was. So one incident led to another. And in doing so, though, I've discovered something along with Cheryl from our organization, that when we interview people that have had a UFO encounter, as I did recently to an elderly gentleman here in Brisbane, I always ask the question, have you ever had any other paranormal-like incidents happen to you?
You know, I wanted to stop at that point because this is so important. A lot of the so-called investigation of UFOs in this country treats the sighting as a singular event, separated totally from the person who sees it. And as you point out, and with a lot of people, they may have a background of having other paranormal encounters. And if we don't understand the totality, how do we expect to get answers to UFOs? So it's very important that you do ask that question.
And I did not believe that at first, but the facts got in my way, and I had to accept it. We did a radio show up here. I was part of a panel. The radio announcer was not a person that believed UFOs. He was just your general radio announcer who decided to start up a segment called a paranormal panel. He thought there's a market for that sort of thing, you know. And they look at their ratings, and I think that might be popular. He came to the belief then, whenever someone said to him, oh, I've seen a UFO, he would always ask them any other experiences as a child or something, because in about, I think, probably a good 70 to 80% at least, in cases, people will say, yes, I have. I've had another experience. Now, I interviewed a gentleman just only a few days ago. He said, no, I never had any other experience. When I talked about it later, when we calmed down a bit, yeah, more casually, we got to know each other. All of a sudden, he starts, oh, this happened once. I said, well, isn't that paranormal? And he goes, oh, I suppose it is. I find that, well, for whatever reason, I can only speculate, but people that have had UFO experiences were also open to have other type of experiences sometimes in their lives. Whether they are more attuned to discussing these things or whether there's some kind of connection, I don't know. Sometimes it's just because these people are more aware and more and have a little bit more courage in coming forward that they don't mind talking about things like that. Men especially, you know, don't like talking about personal things that may have happened that they can't explain. And so they won't say anything. But when you sit with them for a little while, and you talk about their UFO sighting, and they'll open up slowly and tell you about things that might send them into what we used to call an asylum back in the old days, that if you've seen things like that, you must be crazy, you know. And that stigma still sticks to a certain degree today.
I was hoping that because of all the recent publicity, especially here in the States, that people who do see UFOs are not being treated that way. They're accepted as normal people who had abnormal or unusual encounters with something out there.
Yeah, well, you'd hope so. And this is how it works. I'm a tradesman, and many times I work on large construction sites. And I've had sometimes the local papers here. Brisbane is a city of about 2.5 million people. So, you know, it's quite a substantial place. And I may be interviewed by our number one newspaper here in Brisbane. And so my photo will appear in the paper or on one of those current affairs shows on TV. It's happened in the past. And then I have to front up to a construction site the next day. So I'm there working away, and the people look at me, look at the paper. They come up to me and go, "Oi, aren't you that bloke from that UFO?" So I say, that's me. And they'll have a bit of a laugh together, as men do, you know, a few jokes here and there. I join in because, yeah, all good to me. I don't care. But when you go over to the water machine at 11:30 a.m., have a bit of a drink, and one of those guys are there, all of a sudden, the whole chemistry is different. "Oh, listen, mate, I wanted to tell you about something. My grandmother had an experience once," and then they open up to you, you know. The stigma still exists, but if you get people individually, they will open up and tell you all about these things. And unfortunately, men will be men, you know, as a group. It's all beating your chest and being the alpha male and that sort of thing, those games. But given the right time and circumstance, they will open up and tell you all about their lives, you know, and all about those crazy things that used to happen. It looks like that hasn't changed much. You've got to be smart about it. And if you're going to interview people about things, you probably should not do it as a group, because you're probably not going to get the information that you're looking for.
Well, the other thing here, too, is that sometimes it's important just to go to a person's house and ask about their family, or would they rather not share it? I'm thinking in terms of attitude here. If somebody has a lifetime of paranormal encounters, does it necessarily also include other members of their family? I mean, you've talked about ghostly encounters in your childhood. Looking at your entire family unit, how wide can we spread such encounters?
Interesting. And actually, that didn't only stop at 6 years old. As I grew up, there were some, in my mature years, there was many other experiences that I've had. And so it all depends on who I was with at the time. That would spread to those people as well. But as far as people wanting to, you were saying earlier, just before, you just said something about the members of your family with UFO contacts. If people have had close encounters with UFOs, and I'm talking about close encounters are probably the third kind, where they met up with other beings. You hear about a lot of the abduction cases. Let's call them the abduction cases for now. We found that an incredibly high percentage of those people, their families were involved, were also involved, almost as if it's some kind of a genetic experiment, where it's not only you that they're interested in, but your grandmother or people before them, and they're following a particular gene or a family line to try to get the information that they want. And that gives a suspicion of some kind of a genetic experiment or something. So in those abduction cases, unfortunately or fortunately, most people say unfortunately, other family members are involved, but they may not even know it. We only find this out by little clues, because obviously, you know, we have a short lifespan on this planet, and something could have happened to someone's grandmother, but unfortunately we've missed the opportunity to be able to talk to them. But there were clues there where people would say things like, "Yeah, I've had an abduction experience, and I remember my grandmother telling me once that she went into this, was going into town, and all of a sudden she was there, but she was 4 hours late. She can't remember why, and she used to have nightmares and talk about the little folk that lived in the mountain." You know, little clues like that that tells you that there could have been something else going on there, and we missed the opportunity.
Let's continue this in our next segment with our guest, okay? with Tino and Gene and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
As you know, neighbors, web hosting can be pretty cheap, but not all hosting is the same. DreamHost wins best of awards year after year. You get unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, and even the low-cost plans put your sites on high-performance SSDs. Want to know more about what DreamHost has to offer? Go to technightowl.com/host. Once again, that's technightowl.com/host.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, R-O-C-K-O-I-D-S.com.
Hey, survival gardeners. Garden soil isn't what it used to be. In fact, many gardens are farmed out and some are functionally dead. That means adding back the right trace minerals to your soil can immediately catapult your garden fertility, which means, quite naturally, better tasting and more nutritionally dense fruits and vegetables. So if you got your garden in late and want to help your fruits and vegetables play catch up, or you simply want to pour on the trace elements to maximize this year's harvest, I've got good news. It's not too late to give everything you've got growing this year in your garden a powerful, life-renewing turbo boost. And the best part? This unique product creates a type of trace mineral synergy, which means that each mineral and trace element in the formula makes all the other minerals and trace elements much more effective than if they were used alone. Go to cmazing.net to turbo boost your garden. That's cmazing.net. Improve flavor, increase your harvest. Go to cmazing.net.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's N-U-T-R-I Medical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So you're talking about an experience here that I guess you've kind of whet our appetite, Tino. Please go ahead.
So, yeah, we found that many people that have had these abduction experiences, that it isn't a one-off. It has to do with their family. It seems to be an important factor in the abduction experience. I can't say it happens in every case, And when I say abduction, I mean people that are more or less taken unaware of the situation. So, you know, there are contactees, which I think are a little bit, it's a little bit of more of a friendly meeting of species where someone sees and walks up to them and talks to them. Or the abduction experience, a little bit more sinister, where someone's lying in bed, a big bright light, next thing they're floating out into a spaceship, that sort of thing.
You know, when you talk about abductions, and this is a wider issue, maybe you'll have a reaction to it, I don't understand the motivations here. If we have extraterrestrials interested in visiting Earth, if they need genetic samples of humans, they don't need to do anything that's invasive to acquire that data. They don't have to grab people and take them through windows and doors or walls and take them aboard spaceships. That's not necessary. But we seem to see a lot of people around the world who have these really, really weird and sometimes horrifying experiences. And then, of course, some will liken this, and one of the researchers that we deal with here in the U.S. wrote a very interesting piece for our newsletter, pointing out the resemblance between the near-death experience and the UFO abductions. Have you looked into that wider picture? Have you considered whether or not maybe abductions aren't part of UFOs?
I have. I've personally investigated a number of abduction cases, two of them involving people that I knew from childhood. And it's only because they discovered that I was involved in the subject many years later that they confided in me. Now, one of these particular people was the most unlikely. How would I explain him? Like a biker, a bad, mean biker. Let's put it that way, okay? He doesn't mind me saying that too. The last thing in the world he would ever be thinking about are aliens or UFOs. That does not compute with him. He's a very basic person who gets on with his life. He's not a very good boy at times, but, you know, that's who he is. So he has no time for any of this mumbo-jumbo, as he put it in his words. Yet, something like this actually happened to him, and he had nowhere to go. And the only time he came to visit me one day to show me some plans for a property that he wanted me to work on. And in my office, I had a little bookshelf, a big bookshelf with a lot of UFO books. And Whitley Strieber's communion book was up front with that face. I'm sure you're aware of it, the face of that alien on the front cover. He turned, he looked at that cover and collapsed in my office. I thought he was having a heart attack or something. When he came to, he tried to explain to me, he said, how did I know about that bloke, that person? Who is he? How do you know that face? Why is he that face on that book? He didn't know where to begin in trying for me to explain something that he had seen, he thought was the only person in the whole world that had seen, and it may have been imagined, but he could not figure out why that was on my shelf. And then the story came out about his own experiences. Some people like that just don't want the subject to be real. They want it to be true. They're not looking for information. They're not looking for fame and glory. And then you've got the cases where a lot of people sort of start talking about, oh, I'm sure I've been abducted a million times because every time I go to sleep, I feel like I'm falling. So there are natural phenomena that gives us the feeling of astral traveling, you know, and near-death experiences, but I think they're all a completely separate thing, because when you follow through with the story, and the difference is you follow through with it, you get more and more information as time goes on, and it brings you to a physical craft where something physically actually happened or was apparent at the time, whereas near-death experiences, they remain experiences only. And that's where I find the difference. I'm not saying either one of them or both of them exist, but I'm saying sometimes they're not the same thing. Like seeing images at the end of your bed. Now, it could be ghost images, but it can also be aliens. It works both ways. So, but that doesn't mean they are both. It just seems that sometimes they have these similar traits. And our brain, remember, our brain processes things that we are aware of. Its best ability is to compare to something that it knows. And so if you've been brought up with fairy tales about ghosts at the end of the bed, you will think it's ghosts. If you've been thinking that the only people that visit you at night are angels, you'll describe them as angels. I like talking to people that have no religions in their lives, have not read books about UFOs, don't know anything about the paranormal. They're the best subjects. They're the best witnesses you can talk to because their minds aren't full with all these other things. And so sometimes there could be a correlation, but I don't think it is. I think like near-death experiences are a completely different phenomenon. And judging by the reports that I've received from people, I can see why, like, you know, people just in a hospital because they've been injured, and all of a sudden they see the light, they go through the light, they see certain images, and then they come back down again. You know, that's I would call that a near-death experience. I wouldn't associate it with anything to do with UFOs or abductions, you know.
Well, we're coming up to a break in about a minute, and we can start now and then continue after the break. But you mentioned that there's an elderly gentleman in Brisbane that you recently talked with about his paranormal experience. Can you tell us some more about that particular case?
Yes, yes, I certainly can. Now, this gentleman today is 83 years old, and we received a call from his daughter saying that their dad wanted to talk about something because at 83, he doesn't want to go to his grave and not having reported this incident. And we thought, oh, that's fair enough. And I was to interview him a few months back, but because of this virus, we thought it best at his age that he stay secluded, and we did so. So, but recently everything sort of slowed down a little bit here in Australia, and it allowed me to go and visit him. He's a fantastic gentleman. He's a lovely guy. He was there with his daughter, and this happened in 1956. Okay, he was 19 years old. It was mid-October, warmer weather here in Australia, at 2 a.m. in the morning.
It's a good time for us to break, and we'll continue that story with our guest, Tino Pezzamenti. With Gina Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
We've all seen and perhaps use the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam meeting or exceeding all requirements set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration. Come to GCNteam.com. Keyword antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
Florida has reported more than 10,000 new confirmed coronavirus cases. Governor Ron DeSantis says his state is taking necessary steps to handle the increase in cases.
We've also deployed a large number of healthcare personnel that the state had been working with or had on contract. And so some of those have been deployed to places like South Florida, the Tampa Bay area.
Tampa Mayor Jane Kester says mandatory restrictions seem to be working.
We put a mask order in place 3 weeks ago, and so we've seen significant adherence to that out in the community. The county put a mask ordinance in over 2 weeks ago, and so, you know, that, I believe, is starting to show positive results. We're seeing a flattening out in the number of those cases.
This is USA Radio News. Another longtime civil rights leader has passed away, and USA's John Hunt has the story.
Representative John Lewis, the sharecropper's son who became a giant of the civil rights movement, passed away after a month-long battle with cancer. He was 80. The longtime Georgia congressman, an advocate of nonviolent protest, who had his skull fractured by Alabama state troopers on the Edmund Pettus Bridge in Selma, was the last surviving speaker from the 1963 March on Washington. Lewis announced in late December that he was undergoing treatment for stage 4 pancreatic cancer. Lewis had served in the U.S. House of Representatives since 1987, where he was sometimes referred to as the conscience of Congress. His illness didn't stop him from fending off a primary challenge in June. He won with 87% of the vote. Lewis' wife of 44 years, Lillian, died on New Year's Eve 2012. They're survived by one son, John Miles. For USA Radio News, I'm John Hunt.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Bags under the eyes, crow's feet, fine lines and wrinkles are things adults complain about as they age. Now there's Instantly Ageless. It works in minutes and is great for men and women. Here's a clip from the Rachel Ray Show testing the results of Instantly Ageless.
Board certified dermatologist Dr. Whitney Bow.
If you're looking to try to turn back the clock on a budget, you know, in the privacy of your own home, but actually there's some recent technologies emerging, almost like changes the behavior of the skin while it sits on the skin.
She went off to try a product called Instantly Ageless.
Yeah.
Instantly, you could see a difference. Even the cameraman were like, wow, look at the difference.
Yeah.
But I would definitely use this product.
This product, within minutes of applying it, it was actually a very dramatic rejuvenation.
Try Instantly Ageless today at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com. 30-day money-back guarantee and preferred price discount at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com.
Hi, this is Bryce Abel. I'm the producer of Dark Skies, the co-author of AD After Disclosure, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Okay, Tino, it's 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yes,
do you know who's going to answer that phone if there's an emergency? No, I'm kidding. Go ahead, please.
Okay, so it's 2 a.m. in the morning. This 19-year-old boy is in a car, and the car was a 1938 Ford V8. That's I don't know exactly what model, but and it's important that we know what sort of vehicle it is because it'll come evident a little bit later.
That's an interesting car to have in 1956, but go ahead, please.
Yes, okay. Now, Brisbane in those days, in 1956, is not like Brisbane of today. Brisbane has grown up very, very quickly. And so what is a city, a suburb now, back then would have been sparsely populated. Anyway, he was driving home at 2 a.m., and a bright light was right over the school that he was passing. And he thought, that's unusual. And next thing, this big bright light came right over his own car. And he described it as a huge mushroom, a mushroom. I said, now, when you say a mushroom, was it similar to a mushroom? He goes, no, it was a 25-meter top and a 3-meter stem, like a mushroom. He said, that's exactly how I would describe it, like a mushroom. There's nothing that's closer to that. I said, fair enough. And when he came, because there was not many people around back in those days, so this UFO got attracted to his car driving by and went over it. And as the UFO passed over the car, it started to shake quite a bit. And he thought, he's in trouble. Whatever this is going to crash onto his car or something is going to happen that's bad. He found out that when he passed under, there was a little power station nearby, and going to the power station, of course, you'll find those heavy-duty power cables. And when he was under those power cables, this craft backed away. And so then he passed underneath, and then the craft came back closer to him. So he figured, in its panic state, that the best thing to do was to try to drive under these cables, and he did so, and the craft eventually left him alone. But it got as close as, he says, about 10 metres from the top of his car when he was driving towards these power lines. Now, while it backed off, it was stationary above him and then took off in what he says was 1 million miles per hour. That's how he explained it. He said he's seen back then aircraft, back then the jets or the planes, but nothing, he's ever seen anything move this fast.
Okay, yeah, because all along here I'm thinking, okay, this could be something like a lighter-than-air craft, some sort of a blimp maybe.
Yep.
But that sort of rules that theory out, doesn't it? Because, I mean, blimps or lighter-than-air vehicles, they can be silent, and they can hover silently, which can be weird, but there is no way that they can do that sort of instant acceleration off into the distance.
Yeah, no, that's right. That's what gave it away as being something other than a balloon or a blimp or whatever. Now, his car started acting up a little bit from that point on. And again, one of the questions you should always ask is, what sort of car engine did you have, petrol, diesel? Because whenever we have these close encounters of this like this, there are some effects on the car. And in fact, he says, yes, it ran it didn't run right from that point on. And then next day he had to bring it to his friend as a mechanic, and he found that the head gasket had blown on it. And not only that, so I said to him, now, if it affected your car, what about you? How did it affect you? Did you feel anything different? And he goes, yes. He says, as soon as this thing was above me, it affected my vision. He said, I started to see blurry, my vision became blurry, and I had a painful headache. And I think I blanked out, he said. And I thought, well, that's interesting. So if you blanked out and you're driving, and I purposely asked this question, and he goes, oh, no, I blanked out when I was underneath the power line stopped, And I said, okay, so do you remember if the car was stalled when he regained consciousness? And he couldn't remember. So there was a little bit of an area there where he blanked out, but he couldn't remember if he had to restart the car, whether it was still running. Because I find that if you blank out, sometimes your foot may slip off the clutch and you stall the car, Because I doubt very much it would have been an automatic back in those days.
Right, of course. This brings up sort of an issue. I mean, this is a sighting that took place a long time ago. Yeah. How is he able to remember these details? Do you think they were really accurate, did he write them down? Did he put them in a journal, what was your impression of his state of mind?
He was very much on the ball, as they say. He was very aware of things, very knowledgeable about what's going on around you at the moment. He had his full faculties about it. He did mention that he did write some stuff down, not straight away after that, but a couple of years after that. And then he's always told his family, or only a couple of members of his family, the story. And she said, the daughter said, that's exactly how he told it. It was about 10 years ago or something when he was somewhere and he told the story. So the story changed very little in the last 10 years. I'm sure that there are details that he's probably missed out that were not important to him at the time, but may have been important to us. But it was something that he's taken off his chest. He didn't know who to contact. And at 83, he still had the burden of having this big secret that he couldn't tell. So the reason for him to tell the story was to get it off his chest. And, sometimes that's all we can do as researchers. We are there to support people that have had these experiences because, who do you call? where do you go? And so by being there for them, that may be enough for him. He's reached a point in his life. He's had something happen to him for all these years, right? All these years. And finally, he's told a stranger. And he feels a lot better about himself for doing so. And he wants it catalogued, and which we will do. And he goes, you never know. Someone might know something that happened in that day, you know, and there's another person, another witness. And that's why I encourage people, no matter how mundane you may think the sighting is or how crazy you are, or you may think you are, report it to your local research group if there's any around, or there's quite a few around the world now. Let someone know about it so they can detail it. Certainly write things down and then report it to someone. We will not think you're crazy, okay? We will take the report. Now, just pretend for a moment that I thought that this bloke was a complete lunatic, right? Obviously had something wrong with him there. I'll still report this as he said it because he reported it, okay? We'll let someone else decide whether he's a nutcase or not, but that's not my job. And to me, he seems quite sane, quite reasonable, right? And I'd have no reason to disbelieve him. And, you know, other people may come across differently when telling a story. You know, we're not all the same. A lot of people don't like sharing news with strangers. They may be nervous. They may stutter a little bit when they get a bit nervous. That doesn't mean that they're lying about it or that they're crazy. It means that they're just telling the story the best way they possibly can. And I'm not there to judge the psychological state of a person. That comes with training. That comes with many years of experience. But you keep that to yourself, or you speak about that only if you're in your group and you want to know, if you want to categorize a sighting. And I'll be honest with you, I've been called out to many people's homes where I think that they may have been delusional or very lonely and looking for anyone to talk to. Those things happen as well. You can't not say that because that's just a fact. But in this case, this person here came across as being a completely sane and a very articulate witness.
We have a very articulate guest here. Okay. Tino Pezzamente, we have more to come with Gene and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Today, many of us are paying attention to our health, and what we eat plays an important role. But so often the water we drink is a mere afterthought when it should be a primary part of our daily nutrition. Real Water would like to change how you think about the water you drink and how it can play an important role in helping your body restore balance and reach its full potential. The key benefits of every bottle of Real Water are stabilized negative ions, balanced pH, detoxification, and it hydrates you like never before. And yes, it tastes great. Real Water is beyond alkalinity, and due to its proprietary process called E2 technology, it's the only drinking water on the market that can maintain a stable negative ionization, which means real science in every bottle. Order your Real Water today and take advantage of special pricing for this audience only by calling 1-855-REALWTR or visiting buyrealwaternow.com. That's 1-855-REALWTR or buyrealwaternow.com. Order now. 1-855-REALWTR or buyrealwaternow.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. Amazon customer, 5 out of 5 stars. I'm quite happy about it. This product has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs, and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. Dr. Sam Surreal. Good product and ingredients. Kept my blood pressure normal after mild heart attack in 2015. Switched to plant-based diet also to reverse atherosclerosis. John Bispico's. 5 out of 5 stars. Built up my immune system. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
This is Leslie Kane, and I'm with the Coalition for Freedom of Information, and you are listening to the Paracast.
In doing your investigations, have you done much data processing in terms of the kind of people who tend to report sightings to you, age groups, ethnic groups, anything else?
Look, we've spoken about this as a group. It's very interesting you should say this. We had a discussion once. It was based on a discussion that someone had in the United States, and they got in trouble over it, where they said, I think they said, now don't get me wrong, that gay men seem to be abducted more than straight men. I mean, this is what you can do with figures and things. And it caused a bit of a controversy because, you know, as you can imagine. Now, I thought of it a little bit of a different way. To me, maybe the case was that a gay man would be more forthcoming with information rather than your traditional builder-type construction worker like I've dealt with, where they will tell you nothing to be recorded because of their machoism, if you understand what I'm trying to say. I may use terminology that in America you may not understand, so I apologize if I do. But you've got to be very careful when statistics and things like women are far more open about things, and it's just not about UFOs and paranormal, about their health, about how they're feeling, about how they think of the world. You know, I think it's just a fact. That might be changing, but up until now, you can't say more women get abducted. It may be because they're more willing to talk about it. So I think it's very dangerous to sort of categorize things without doing full research on it. And we're not capable of doing that. We're not a big organization. You know, we do the best we can with our own jobs and families and going out and researching. But occasionally we do talk about things like that. And we talk about the research that other people have done and that have spent considerable amount of money doing. And again, I think there are many danger areas in these things. So it must be taken with a grain of salt. Don't put all your belief system in one package because it could go downhill very quickly. But, you know, like farmers, hillbillies are not the only ones that have contact with aliens. City people do as well. You don't have to be an uneducated person to see little green men. You know, plenty of pilots and judges do the same, have had the same experiences. Whether a judge would be willing to talk about it and destroy his career is another story. Whether a pilot will voluntarily tell you that information and then become suspended with pay until he has a psych evaluation because of the incident that he's reported, it's got to be seen. So there are many things out there, many reasons that society puts roadblocks in a lot of people's ways. You know, if you're a pilot and you see a craft come past with flashing lights and it does a 90-degree turn and you report it, they have to then evaluate whether you are fit for flying, whether you've seen something or whether, you know, so, and I don't blame them, but that's the way we are in society. So pilots would probably be very, very cautious before they come forward and report something. So it's a great question. I'd love to have a computer and spend time on doing that, but I think that it's still a bit of a dangerous territory. I don't know anyone that's immune to this phenomenon. You know, especially today in an age where, with the internet, where communication is a lot easier than it was, say, in the 50s, where you're relying on a newspaper to get information from one place to the other. Things have changed dramatically. And you find now that stories like this are spread much more quickly throughout the world, where if you have state-run newspapers, they won't allow the printing of certain stories because it doesn't agree with their political system. So, you know, you've got to be very aware of things like that.
Well, nowadays you can hiccup and gets online. People hear about it. Randall, there was a question or a comment from one of our listeners in the question bank in our forum. Would you mention that one now?
Right, yeah. We've got a question on the Paracast community forums where our listeners can post questions and topics for discussion for our guests. This one is from Marduk, who asks, I'd be curious what you think is really going on at Pine Gap. And while we're at it, we can also remind our listeners, if they don't already know, that I think there is an Australian TV series dedicated to the place called Pine Gap.
There is. I haven't watched it. There's reasons why I don't watch a lot of shows is because it distracts me from the facts. Because to do a TV show, you've got to put an entertainment factor in there to keep your listeners or your viewers there. So if the facts are not enough, you have to add stuff to make it a little bit more palatable. And there's a couple of cases about that. But Pine Gap, for those of you that don't know, is in the middle of nowhere. Absolutely in the middle of the desert. You go to the desert and there's a couple of little buildings. A huge transport plane comes in probably once a day, once every few days from the United States to supply the space. Officially, I think it's a listening station, listening to conversations, other governments, things like that, or close to being officially the reason. Other people say that it's just got a huge underground base where there's all sorts of experiments, probably similar to a little bit like Area 51. But it's easy to come to that conclusion when you have something that's secret. Because when something is secret and no one talks about it, speculation comes in. And, you know, speculation tends to be a lot more sweeter to the palate than maybe the facts, you know. So we don't know, all right? The general public does not know what goes on at Pine Gap. You'll have people in conspiracy theories coming and telling you even the menu for lunchtime at Pine Gap and places like that. and you know, all well and good, but it generally starts off with, I know a person who used to know a person who used to work there. And they said this and they said that. Well, when it gets to that stage, I no longer care. I cannot get distracted in my line of work, like as a researcher. I can't go there. I can't see it for myself. I can't get any official documents. Then I just stay where it is and move on. That's my personal opinion.
Okay, thanks for that. There have been, though, you know, I think more than one sighting in the area of what people describe as UFOs. Do you think those are just coincidentally near Pine Gap, or do you think that there actually might be a connection?
Now that's an interesting question. There is a saying that, where do I go if I want to see a UFO? And the answer generally is, you will either go to people like Timothy Good, American author, great. We've had him out here. He says this as well. He goes, you go to a large water supply like a dam, a power station, or a military installation, right? And it's not that the craft belongs to that area. It's that they're as curious as we are about what goes on there. And I think they go over there to those areas to investigate themselves. and therefore people will see these craft over top secret areas. I don't think they originate from there, but I think there is a connection sometimes between these lights and places like Pine Gap. And why wouldn't you be? I mean, if you've got the technology that these craft that supposedly come from another place other than the Earth, they'll be able to sort of probably scan the ground and say, what are these people up to? They're building a building underground, 10 stories underground, you know, like I'd be curious too. So, yeah, I think it is true. I think there are many objects seen over these areas, these military installations, for a reason.
Okay, and thanks for that. And, of course, I mean, you mentioned the similarity to Area 51, and there are a couple of reports that I read where people actually claim, and, of course, you know, I appreciate that you haven't been able to go there and verify any of this, but I still find them pretty interesting. There was one report where the person says they saw some kind of a door open up in the ground and one of these UFOs fly out of there.
This is in Area 51, is it?
No, this is at Pine Gap.
Okay. Yes, and I'd like to talk to that person one day and find out some more information, because that's the sort of thing that's lacking, is witnesses to things like that. So that would be quite interesting. And please don't get me wrong. I don't think that these things do not involve UFOs. My frustration is the lack of ability to get information from that frustrates me. They could be building UFOs there for all I know, but I can't prove it. But one thing you get, like, if you follow through enough, like Area 51, is when the people, the original witnesses for Roswell, where eventually they say that the crash craft was brought over to Area 51, they will tell you on their deathbeds, because, you know, in a retirement home or a hospital, they'll call people together and sign statutory declarations saying that I saw this back then. I have been sworn to secrecy up until now, but I've only got a few days left to live, and I want to tell my story. And they'll tell you what happened.
We're going to tell you what happened right now. We'll have more to come with Tino and Gene and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got, like, I guess 60 or so different items, and entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast Jumbo tote bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. If you go to store.theparacast.com, stop by and take a shopping tour.
If you have diabetes and you're on Medicare, Medicaid, or have private insurance, you may qualify for a new continuous glucose monitor. Managing your diabetes is crucial to your health. The new CGM can automatically and easily help you manage your diabetes more effectively. And by using a CGM, you can eliminate the one thing most people with diabetes dislike the most, finger sticks. Now you can automatically manage your diabetes and end the painful finger sticks. Solara Medical Supplies makes it simple for you to have a new CGM. We'll do all the insurance paperwork for you and deliver the newest in diabetic care technology right to your door. Take charge of your diabetes today with the help of a new continuous glucose monitor. Call now to learn more.
800-547-5331. 800-547-5331. 800-547-5331. That's 800-547-5331.